Hey, Greg, move your camera over to one side just a little bit. I don't know why my screen. No, the other way, the other way. A little bit more. Okay, down a little
Now Greg's cut off half on my screen. Now I can just see one of Greg's eyes.
I can
Can
see
we?
Greg, one of Greg's eyes.
Is that a compromise position?
Wait a minute. You know what I should do? Maybe
What's going
you
on
should change
here?
your window, Dad.
Yeah, there we go.
What's
Okay,
going on
there we
here?
go. All right, now I see Greg. Okay, good.
Why am I bending around backwards so you can? Okay, here we go.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The past year. Praise the Lord.
So Trump.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
Let's do Trump. I don't know. What's going on?
Well,
we gotta earn the Trump dog.
You know what?
Oh, wait. First of all,
Yeah.
We need to introduce ourselves. We never do this.
Okay.
And so no one knows who's talking.
Okay. You say your name first, Tim.
My name is Tim. Well, like, do we need to do an intro or something like that? Or
No, come on.
Tell him to go listen to the first podcast.
Go listen to the first podcast. Tell him to go listen to the first podcast. Exactly. Who do they think we are?
We introduced ourselves then.
I don't think we did.
We did.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Greg
we had
did.
A good
Greg
one.
Wrote a...
Listen to episode one.
Okay.
Come on.
Episode one.
If you read about us in Politico magazine.
There you go.
Website. And you were like interested.
It's the equivalent. It's the internet equivalent of a magazine.
Yeah. Listen to episode
I
one.
I have to say. Yeah.
I'm Greg.
Well,
that's Tim. And
this
I'm
is Tim.
Dad. I think you can tell who Trump Dad is.
I just got some comments. People were hard to know.
Who,
didn't
you
know
got
who
comments?
Just from friends.
Oh, vocal comments.
They're like...
You
yes,
had a friend who
comments.
Like was very interested and gave us a bunch of like comments and questions, and we didn't address any of that stuff.
Nope.
I don't,
not at all.
I think we should be more of a natural. We should be more of a flowing, fun conversation. I think
I agree.
The part. I think that our first two episodes were too focused on trying to like hammer down the issues, and it's one not fun to listen to. It's boring. And two, I'm not that good. I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
no.
Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, I've got an update.
Okay. Yes. Okay. This is what we want.
On a subject that I brought up last on our last episode.
Okay.
About
updates.
That affair, supposedly affair of.
Oh,
Trump
there's lots of updates for that.
With the whatever her name was,
what is her name?
Some porn star, some
Stormy
Daniel.
Stormy Winters or something. I don't know.
Stormy something. Yeah, that
Stormy.
I guess
Stormy
they,
Daniels.
Stormy
Daniels. That they, I guess Trump won the lawsuit.
Oh, Trump wins.
And
you heard it here.
Yeah,
Trump.
And then another thing too was that remember I was wondering that I said that he didn't say well I didn't have sex with that woman.
Yeah.
Well, he denies it. He says no, that's not true.
Okay.
He did not have sex. Trump has specifically denied it. Who when
yes.
when has Trump said that? Trump when
I just
me
I just read it. I just read it
I
yesterday.
I want to hear the quotes. I want to hear the quotes from Donald
of
Trump
the, you
saying
know,
he did
you
not
know
have
who
sex
was
with
talking
her.
About it was the press secretary what's her name? The Huckabee's daughter.
So Trump has.
I thought
has
she
Trump
said,
from his mouth.
And,
wait,
and
wait,
she
wait, wait.
Said she
has
said that
Trump said
Trump
from his
she
mouth.
Said that Trump has vehemently denies having a relationship with that woman.
Okay. So Dad, he didn't win the lawsuit. So she's doing some shady political maneuvers and like not political shady legal maneuvers to kind of. Because the way they structured it, evidently the lawyer is not very good. Michael Cohen, the Trump's lawyer, isn't that great, and the contract has some holes in it, and so they're kind of messing with it. But like, they're really just trying to get more money out of him. Or
okay, hold on, Tim. I mean, hold on. Wait a second. What is this I'm reading? Trump upset with Sanders over Stormy Daniels' response.
Let's not read headlines from the internet.
But I heard that other.
Those are the most.
I heard that
statements.
Other. I heard that he was somehow mad at whatever she said. That's all
I
heard.
I don't know about that.
Who said?
Trump was mad at something that Sanders said, that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said.
I know.
About how the way that she handled. Maybe this is from CNN.
Are you surprised, Greg? Are you surprised that Trump was angry at someone on his
Well, what did she say? I don't know.
I was hearing statistics of the number of people who have left the White House already, and it is like leaps and bounds ahead of any other president of just like the number of people leaving the White House.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there like factoring that there's hardly anyone, like they haven't filled all the positions in the first place. It's like.
Oh, but Trump said that there's hundreds of people that want the jobs. Interviewing them all.
Right. I feel like Trump is the guy we should listen to for this info. Trump is the guy who's going to bring the straight dope on this. Like, if anyone's going to shoot straight, it's going to be Trump.
Oh, yeah. Trump, like, never manipulate non-relevant facts to make it look like
I don't have any idea where that's going.
So right now,
I just thought it was interesting.
The word is right now that it's not true. He did not have sex with Stormy Daniels. That's what he's saying. He's denying that, and he won the lawsuit.
I don't think that Trump will ever say directly that he has never had sex with Stormy.
Oh, like, he's never said that.
He has not said that directly. He has not established a level where he would be actually lying, I think. Like, he hasn't, I mean, that would be a lie, right? Like, if it turned out that he did, he hasn't lied in the way that, like, Clinton did, right? Clinton. Because Clinton lied under oath.
Well, right? He came national TV and...
Yeah, but like if his press secretary denied the charges, that's not the president lying, like under in like a legal sense.
Okay,
right?
They said so, Trump denied all these allegations. Okay.
Okay, but he like it's so clear he's done, and this is just legal maneuvering, Dad. This isn't like proofing one way or another. Like they have a non-disclosure agreement, and she's suing to try to get around it by forcing it to be disclosed. Like it's like a, like she's doing this to manipulate. She's doing this to get more. Like this is a good lawyer trying to get more money for his client, or you know what I mean, or more.
I guess $130,000 wasn't enough.
Yes, like they're trying to get a play for more money or different negotiating and like or so she can tell the story or something like this is just legal posturing.
But you know what the bigger question really is do the American people care and is it going to do anything to?
No, the question is, do you care, Dad? Because this is about Trump, Dad, not Trump America.
Well, I told you about how I feel about it, but
yeah.
So the way you feel about it is that it didn't happen. That's what you feel.
Well, you know what? It's tough to accuse somebody of something that you don't know, and then it could go either way, really. I mean, especially in today's environment of all this political heat, people are always bringing up seems to be the favorite charge of you know some kind of adultery or some kind of thing like that. Yeah. It always seems to be, and we don't know if any of these things are ever true. Did that one? Who was that one sheriff? Arpaio? Moore. The guy.
Roy Moore. Yeah.
Roy Moore. Did those things ever prove to be true?
How are you going to prove that to be true, Dad? Yeah. What's the standard? What is your standard of bar for that ever to be proven true? Like I would say that there is such a level of evidence. It's undeniable, and they're never going to unearth like camera footage of Roy Moore trying to have sex with a 12-year-old. Like you're never exist.
If the things he wrote in this person's high school yearbook, if people online can say, look, can't you see that that's a fake signature that's been faked? Like then it's like okay, well we guess we have to leave it at that. You know, like I don't know. Some people say it's.
I guess what you need is you need a dress with some stains and a DNA test.
Yeah, right.
Gross. No, not even with Roy Moore. No, gross.
I think you're right, Dad. We have a very heated. It's like it's just like people who like hardcore Clinton people were like very like hardcore against believing that whatever for the longest time. People like what's her name? Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, Monica Lewinsky like suffered like a lot of like abuse from like Clinton people who just like it's like it becomes very political, so it's like
yeah, it is.
It's like a whole other.
So with so much political crap going back and forth, it's hard to tell which one what's real.
I think you have to willful. Like,
yeah,
I think that you kind of have to be a little willful.
I feel like some of those people
you're giving the benefit of the doubt to Trump is like,
well, of course, yeah, I'm Trump dad.
But of course, you're playing your role. Okay.
Trump is, you're playing a role. Okay. But like Trump is a notorious liar. Trump is like the longest history of lying and pulling lawsuits and doing stupid stuff. Like he has like Trump, that's like what Trump does.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. You just said that. What do you have to say about
that? I did say that.
Well, I mean,
he will not hesitate to lie.
That's a claim. When it benefits him.
That is a claim.
You know what? That seems a little outrageous of a claim to say that he would always, you're saying, insinuating that he would not hesitate to lie at any single moment.
Ooh. Maybe there are a couple moments that are impactful, but I would say that like publicly, he has no fear of lying publicly. He has no fear of saying things that he knows to be untruthful.
Okay. Yeah. He has no hesitation
there.
Yeah, no, I understand, because a lot of times he kind of plays the media and plays the people and kind of goes along. And yeah, I guess you could say it's lying, but
are you thinking of, Dad, when you say that? Are you thinking of a specific time or a specific?
Well, like sometimes I know that he kind of says things that kind of are a little edgy and people get sort of.
Are you thinking of something particular? When you say
Well, yeah, I'm trying to recollect.
I think maybe what you're talking about is like what I would see as like impulsive, where like how Trump will be when he's talking, especially he will kind of throw things out there. Like there's been several times he's gotten in trouble with the media when he's kind of thrown something out and they just
when he said everyone's going to have good insurance. It's going to be cheap. You're going to love it.
Yeah. And he had no clue what he's saying. He had no idea. He's just like, no, we're all have insurance. Like
when he said, we'll just take the guns away before due process.
Yeah. He had zero. Like he said that and you know that he didn't think about that for 1 second before it exited his mouth. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like he just said that and he has no idea what he's talking about or how he would do that hasn't considered that opinion at all because he's just throwing it out there and it may have merits. It may not have merits. But then the media hangs on this and like it's like he just said something. I know he's a president. But like we have to say, like he's Trump too, and he's just going to do that. You know what I mean? Like he's not lying per se. I would say, like in those circumstances, he is just genuinely not a very thoughtful person.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion, and other people could see that there's actually maybe some genius in being able to manipulate and play the media, which hates him. And is always trying to find something wrong with him. He kind of has a way of getting them to kind of cooperate with him in a way.
Yeah,
He's like perfectly designed to needle them. But I would argue they have a symbiotic relationship. I would say that him and the media does not hate him.
Oh,
him
the media and the hates media him.
Feed
come
off
on,
each other.
Oh, come on, Tim. The media
elements
hates
of the
him.
Media hate him. But okay, elements. They feed
That's
off
true.
Of the, like he the Trump is yeah. part of that system. Trump is not like it's a symbiotic relationship. It is.
He
not
owes
like
his
a,
presidency to the fact that the media would publish anything he said at any time because it makes good ratings and it's
yeah no yes. That's why he spent so little on his campaign
exactly
because of the media able to work the media
exactly
yeah
this media who
and
did
and
not
that's
think
his genius.
He was
and like,
going to be
Electric. That is Trump's genius. Like, he is just he's like the, what do you call it in game theory? He's just like the madman.
But let's
method.
Let's,
like, just being like, yeah, he's just all out and he doesn't hesitate. And
but let's,
he doesn't worry about making mistakes and then just kind of.
But I wonder about like how where do you see him? Like, how do you know where he stands on issues when he says things that contradict, that seem to contradict himself? Like, do you know what Trump's like policy towards gun control is? Because I remember we had a conversation a while back where you were like, there's no way that our guns are in jeopardy under this president. Like, that we're safe here. But he's made a couple remarks that are like way worse than any Democrats have ever said about taking for guns. Sure.
Or classic Democratic lines, actually, because he's a Democrat from the 80s.
That's true. He has been.
And so he's repeating stuff that he heard in the 80s from the
Democrats. I mean, he is a kind of a liberal guy. But that's what I'm. Of course, we don't know. But I would say that whatever he said, and I wasn't paying attention too much of what he said about the guns. But I did know that he kind of mentioned, well, you know, maybe we could. I know he was going to raise. He suggested raising the purchasing. Raising the age limit to purchase guns, and then getting rid of the bump stops or whatever.
Okay.
And then that was kind of like throwing some bones to the media to kind of, okay, well, hey, you know, maybe you know, he's because, you know, they're ready to call anybody who is wants to protect the Second Amendment. They're ready to call them Nazis and you know, segregationists and racists. You know.
Well, I disagree with calling all gun owners those things, but you have to admit the Venn diagram.
There are some nice, of those
healthy overlap. there is definitely some. I'm not saying it's correlation or causation, but there is correlation there.
By the way, did you listen to Marco Rubio's little comeback on?
Absolutely not.
I could care less what Marco Rubio has to say.
Absolutely not. Hey, listen, what did he say?
I thought Marco Rubio was came back really good.
Tell us about it.
Wait.
Are you talking about the town hall he did?
No, I'm talking about he was rebutting. I guess it was some kind of a Senate hearing about guns.
Was he rebutting an 18-year-old? Because that's not a good look.
No. He was talking about calling the Democrats to the floor about coming out and saying that people, I guess the Democrats were calling people that were for the Second Amendment, they were Nazis and likened them to segregationists.
Wow.
Who said this?
I don't know. It must have been
who
some
called them segregationists
some
and Nazis.
Some Democrats did. And so, so Marco Rubio got up and said, "You know, what are you talking about? You're the party that was for segregationist, and if you're going to start, if this is how, if these are the way you're going to carry on these discussions, that this is no discussion at all. You're just name calling and being disrespectful and not causing to have any communication. You're just, you know, you're the party that was against the civil rights."
We can't go on with this.
I'm not going down this road.
We cannot keep on with this equating the modern day Democrats with the segregationist racist Democrats, absurd. Because all of those people transferred over to the Republicans during the Southern Strategy. Everyone knows it. It is no longer possible to say.
Wait a minute. Al Gore didn't transfer over to the Republicans.
No, all the segregationist racists transferred over to the Republican Party during that era of the Southern
Civil rights,
like Nixon and Reagan, like the
during the Reagan
Senate majority stuff. They made a push for the
like
South.
That's when the South, because the South is red now, right? Everyone knows that.
Yes.
And yes, the time that happened, all of the people who were racist Democrats went over to the Republican Party when the Republicans started implementing this policy of like what they call racist dog whistles.
Oh, I don't believe that.
It's true. Why is the South deeply red now?
It's because the South now is the conscience of America.
Okay, fine, but whatever you want to say.
The South, whoa. This, what?
Whatever you want to say, all the people who used to be. Wait. No matter what you want to say about why, all the people who used to be Democratic segregationists are now Republican
people. Wait, stop. Stop. I can end this conversation right now.
Go ahead.
Strom Thurmond. Who is that? The face of segregationist
Perfect.
Movement.
Perfect. Okay.
He was a Democrat. Absolutely was a Democrat in the 50s. Guess what? 1964, right in the, that was a Nixon possibly, became a Republican.
Yes.
And continued to be a segregationist. Yes. Like, it is clear.
Why is Roy Moore not a Democrat?
He would have been a Democrat if he was.
He's a Republican now.
Democrat as a young man.
He would have been a Republican. He probably was, he would have been a Republican back or a Democrat back in the day. Now he's a Republican. You know that people transferred in mass in the South from the Democrats.
It was a voting block. And they're not all racist. It's not a race. It's not like a 100% racist block of people. But like
it's a whole generation.
It's not the same people that Strom Thurmond did.
But, hey, Dad. Unlike the Moore family, people transfer their culture to their siblings and their politics to their siblings, to their offspring.
Good luck with your kids.
Right. Yeah. Tim's kids are going to be Android. About, yeah.
No, but anyway, I'm sorry to take us down that rabbit trail. That was.
Yeah. We've done that 3-4 times now.
No, this is always an ongoing thing that we could never get the end of addressing, because it's a canard that always happens where it's like, you're the party of segregation, but it's like, oh my goodness, who was fighting like segregation
I agree with you until you start seeing Nazis and Nazi groups becoming politically active.
I mean, it's like Jesse Jackson was like, yeah, because I like these segregationist policies. Like, he's forming the Rainbow Coalition because he likes the segregationist policies of the Democrats. It's like, okay. All right, if you don't believe that, okay.
Probably a more Trump thing to talk about would be this thing going on with Jeff Sessions doing a lawsuit against California, since I live in California.
But first,
have you guys heard about that?
No.
Yeah, I did. But first, I want to hear about your take on the Trump talking smack to Sessions on Twitter. What do you make of that, Dan?
Ooh, I didn't see that.
What did Trump say to
Trump Sessions? Let's see what Trump said.
Look it up, because I don't know. Trump said something on Twitter?
Directly about Sessions.
Really? It was a joke. I didn't.
Telling him to wake up and get on with his job, kind of a thing? Or
Why wouldn't Sessions be a Democrat then?
He was at some point, yeah. Sessions is a racist.
I thought I saw something that Trump was backing Sessions on his lawsuit with California. That's the last thing I heard.
What is he going after California about? What's the lawsuit of California? Oh wait, it has to do with immigration, doesn't it?
It's the sanctuary thing.
Ah. Okay, so tell us about this lawsuit.
Well, if anything, I don't know. I think Trump's kind of been. I mean, you know, Sessions has been kind of real slow at moving and seems to always recluse himself and it seems to be kind of a what
he recuses himself from the Russia thing.
Yeah, and he recuses himself from a lot of things. But
what else does he recuse himself from?
I don't know. Maybe he was. I don't know. But anyway, so he seems to be kind of. I know that he started going after that marijuana thing, which was kind of dumb. So anyway, but I mean, I think I don't know what you guys think, but I think like this latest thing with this Oakland. That's even hitting more closer to home. She alerted these illegal, and they were criminals.
What do you mean she? Who's she?
The mayor. The mayor of Oakland.
Oh, okay. The mayor of Oakland. Libby or something? It's Libby.
Yeah,
I met her once, yeah.
You met her? Yeah. And she alerted these illegal, and from what I understand, they were criminals. They were people that the ICE was looking for. Arrest them, and she notified them and told them, "Well, the police are looking for you. Here they're coming." So they gave them a chance to kind of get away.
Okay.
And,
but they call that obstruction of justice, and there's a lawsuit.
Okay. Really? Did she get arrested?
Yeah.
She got arrested?
Oh no! She didn't get arrested. Oh. She should. I believe
she should. So I guess that one mean, thing. That's, I guess what's weird to me is like your police state vibes are so strong, Dad, for such a libertarian person. Like you're so into this federal agency.
No, hey, listen, I'm just reporting on the news. I didn't make this up. I'm not sitting behind the desk saying this is where this country should go. You are so excited about it, though, Dad.
Huh? You're so excited about a federal agency going into a municipal police station and trying to arrest people.
What about states' rights? What about states' rights?
I feel sorry for these police officers. Because they already are risking their life to go do the service that they're doing, and then now they're being put they're getting their lives more at risk by people, the officials not cooperating and a warning.
How does that put their lives more at risk?
Well, just like because
they're trying to turn them over.
They're trying to arrest these people by surprise.
Well, if she had them, they were arrested already. Why would the mayor have these prisoners, or why would the mayors have the criminals if they
were? Because this is what they believe in.
Were they just hanging out at her house? No.
They were probably in.
They were arrested. Probably they were prisoners.
They were maybe arrested. Maybe they were being detained.
Yeah. So they were in the custody of the municipal government. Maybe they were in
custody. I don't know.
Okay.
So you have this big federal bureaucratized central government trying to come in, tell an upstanding local state what to do, and they're going to put up a fight.
Throw them in jail if they don't comply. Yeah, like this is the FBI guy with the suit who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, the feds are going to send the feds in.
Well,
I just for somebody who
I know so, I don't want to seem like I come down on the state's rights side because I don't believe in state's rights, but like
I think it's just going to cut Governor Brown calls. I mean, it's a political charge thing is what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with illegals and criminals, and it's just that's the point of.
I mean, it definitely does have to do with people who don't have documents and a government agency that's definitely going after them.
Yeah, but I mean, this is sort of the tip of the spear of where they're going to cause the friction and where they're going to divide on and which the two sides are going to take their stand, and this is the battlefield.
I hear that. Yeah, and we kind of have to. It's like we're sort of a little bit slaves to that. Like we kind of, like Like, I heard it said somewhere that, that like the media can't tell you what to think, but it can tell you what to think about. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like, that's sort of what's happening. It's like this is like, you know, but it's not really the media. This is what the government is doing. So we have to think about this.
Yeah.
These are powers we're all greater told very than
different
us
things.
Yeah. Are doing a thing, and we kind of have to like, we're forced to take a position on it, or at least try to try to square it with reality.
Well, I get outraged at the what ICE is doing right now. I have a lot of outrage towards like I'm really uncomfortable with what the way ICE is acting, and I think ICE is being really belligerent right now. Like, you know, I hear reports, and again, they're from pretty liberal sources and stuff, but they are reported, and generally you can like go to the original story, you know what I mean, and like verify and like see that it's an actual reported story that has like real people and stuff attached to it. Yeah. But like of just people who like business owners who are just being rounded up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think, and I don't
lots
think
of times without any
business
pause.
Owners being rounded
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like I remember hearing a story about a guy who owned a pizza shop or whatever, and he was like,
I don't think that there's any, I don't think that there's any other like government agent. Maybe I'm not missing something, but is there any other government agency that's like, that's only there tasked at like going after, like people who like aren't like doing anything actively wrong, really? Yeah. Or like,
this is going to be like when a Democrat, like someone's going to take power, like I see them as like an internal police, right? They're like whenever Hitler takes power in US, the Hitler equivalent, he's going to use these guys to be the like the SS, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, it seems like it to me too. It's like other crimes, like along the lines of not having the proper paperwork, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Well, I guess the Republicans use ICE, the Democrats use the what's that, the firearms and tobacco.
ATF?
What are they? What is the Democrats
use? Does ATF still exist?
Oh, you mean like that? That was the. Oh, you're right. That was the siege on that one. What
Waco.
Was it called? On Waco. Yeah. Yeah.
On
yeah,
Waco.
Yeah.
And they were the ones that got the kid, Elian Gonzalez, and sent him back to Cuba.
Oh, right. That's Clinton. That seems very
sent
similar.
The, sent the
yeah.
ATF.
So, what is yeah. the why? Why was the that's such a weird.
That's crazy. I didn't think about that. He did.
Firearms?
That's
another. Such a weird agency.
Such a
who
random
are
jurisdiction.
They? Like,
yeah.
What are they?
I don't
why
think
are
it still
they
exists.
Like?
Does
like
it
the
still
whole
exist?
That whole like raid on what was it called? What was the raid?
Waco.
In Waco. Yeah, Branch Waco. Davidians. Like, what in the world happened there?
And it's another one of those situations where they're like, how much better would the whole situation have resolved if everyone had just done nothing?
Why can't the Branch Davidians I mean? Like, just have their weird thing and just do their thing?
Like,
why is it
like,
a big
why
deal?
Why does there need to be a... Why does
just
there
leave
need
those
to be,
weird people alone.
Yeah, just like, why does there need to be a confrontation about it? Because of course something's going to go wrong. And like, uh-huh. you can't like stop that. Like, that's of course it's going to... Like once they dig in, it's of course it's going to end terribly. You know what I mean? Like when you're sitting there with a bunch of guns pointing at each other, like... How do you think this is going to end? Someone's going to get shot, like, or die. You know, people will die in this conflict.
Yeah,
I don't know. And the Ruby Ridge thing was pretty crappy too.
Oh yeah.
That was ATF.
Yeah. Or like it feels like it almost feels like the central government of the United States for the longest time is mostly worried about people trying to do separate things, like branch off. And like, you know what I mean? Trying to, like, if you think about the Black Panthers or you think about, it's like anyone who's like off trying to do something else, they're like, no. You're not doing anything else. We're doing this. Yeah. We're doing America here. This is America.
You do
America
to say, you do have to admit though that this thing with ICE is a little different. It's not, they're not going, supposedly they're not going after American citizens. They're trying to do something a little different.
I could give a, we have to get this other thing out of the way too. I could give a crap about someone's citizenship. I could give a crap. Like if it's
a
human being, who cares? It's a human being. It's God's people. I could give a crap about their citizenship
more,
documentation.
Like, there's zero identifiable difference between, like there's no,
like,
these are a lot of these people are people who have lived in this community for so long. Like they are just like they are as American as anyone else.
I will take someone's squatter's rights over the, like, their actual involvement in the community is real. Their paperwork is unreal. That's just a formality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what I do agree. You think about, like, some of these, like, the, what's that, these Mexican gangs that
what about that white people good. Gangs?
Yeah. Well, who's going to go after them?
Who's going to go after the white police. People gangs?
Well, that's who they are.
Who's going to go after the corporations? Who's going to go after that, people polluting the rivers? And who's going to go after
that's the community's
like,
job.
The Wall Street? That, who's going to go after Wall Street?
Do you think the local police like aren't dealing?
Who's going to go after the central bank?
Yeah,
the Fed. Seriously. Who's going to go after the Fed?
You lost me for a little bit, but I think we're on the same. We're kind of, you know.
Okay.
No, I mean, somebody has to take care of these things.
I mean, you take care of it.
You cannot have a country with open borders.
No, I'm not saying yes, open borders. No. I'm saying, look, you can take care of this.
That's
with
an
social
absurd
workers.
Statement. For the record.
Okay, to let Tim say his thing. Maybe.
Oh, no, it's fine. I just wanted to point out that's an absurd thing to say.
What's that? What's an absurd thing?
that this border security is just, like, absolutely integral to society. Like, there's, like that is, like, that is not a critical element of any culture or society.
Oh, come on, Tim. That's not true.
Strict lines between societies.
You went to Panama and you went to Philippines. Didn't you have to go through...
okay, this is what I'm worried about. Yeah. We're getting into this thing where it's like, are you for or against like any kind of immigration protection? Obviously, we want to have immigration protect. You need to go through someone to check you out. Yes, of course.
Okay, we agree.
Of course, but like a paramilitary organization running within the United States, like cracking down on people.
Well, what about the people that don't do that, Greg? What about the people that jump the fence or
they still
swim
continue
the river
to exist, Dad? They still exist, Dad. They will exist.
My point is that my point is not that like you let people run roughshod. My point is that like, and we both understand this. It's a complicated historical thing that's got us into this situation. And and my idea is like let's try to approach it with a little more wisdom than just like a sort of a hard line, like unrealistic, like humanitarian, like just super legalistic,
well,
not looking at reality.
I totally agree.
Well, it's also a resource allocation issue. Like this is not like immigration is not the main ail of our society. The amount of effort being put into immigration efforts is hurting the economy, not helping the economy, and is not doing anything really beneficial to our, except for employing a bunch of ICE officers, maybe. But like, it's not really adding any value. So why are we spending these resources on this enforcement that is pretty meaningless and isn't really providing any value, I think, to our society? So
I could ask the question is, why is the state of California, why is Governor Brown, why is he allocating so many resources to fight this?
Because they're in his community.
They're human
He's representing his community.
No, he doesn't represent, he does not represent illegals.
He represents that community. He represents their
friends.
He represents
Californians, Americans.
But he represents their friends and their family who are also voters and who are also participants in our society. Like just because these people are disenfranchised does not give them any like your argument is like self-defeating because you're saying like you can't have any rights. You don't exist unless you have legal status. And like these people aren't part of any constituency. They're part of the society. They have friends. They have a community. They work. They pay taxes. You know what I mean? Like these are not. Like I don't understand.
Okay, you know, but I think the conversation is kind of going to this more broader kind of thing of these different things. And whereas you know this thing that's happening with these sanctuary cities, it's not for just the average your general Jose that.
No, it doesn't.
These are people that are known criminals that have murdered, have raped.
No,
I don't think so.
They're rounding up any illegal. They are rounding up any illegal with priority to those people, but they are not targeting anyone. They're rolling up illegals if they can.
It was like that guy that was in San Francisco that shot that and killed that girl.
Yes, people die lots of times. There are lots of sociopaths.
How many people died that day?
White American shot up a school. Like, what does that prove about that ethnic group or that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It seems like if you go start comparing apples with oranges, then they all seem to be they're all round, so they all must be the same. That just doesn't hold because we're talking about a specific issue.
We are talking about, you're saying that, illegals,
illegal criminals that have
specifically against all illegals. Everyone who is illegal has committed a crime and is in that group. Your Venn diagram has a complete overlap here. You're saying because you're here illegally, you've broken a law. Because you've broken a law, you're a criminal. I don't feel like there's any escape from that, right? Does that make sense? Or
yeah, but
that's what it feels like.
But I think we're kind of I think we're kind of a little beyond that because there's so many of those and it's been going on for so long. I don't. That's another issue in itself. But we're talking about people I just heard recently there was another thing, I think it was in Maryland or somewhere where some person was driving drunk without a license and smashed into a truck and killed the driver, and then it turned out that when they arrested the person that he was illegal, and so they couldn't detain him.
Why is that relevant to the case?
They couldn't detain him. They let him
go. But Dad, do you know why they can't detain them?
No,
because if they detain them, ICE will grab them. It is a they are. But Dad, look at this. No. You.
Well, what happens if you're driving drunk and you crash into a
car? They cause the problem. They are inserting themselves. There is a stable ecosystem. There are police. They enforce rules. They enact punishment and they deal with the situation as appropriate for the community. And this functions very well. And then the ICE has inserted themselves, saying, anyone who happens to have this box checked, which is they're not here legally, we arrest them immediately. And so they're inserting themselves in this situation, causing the problem. And now the local communities are pissing off their own constituents because members of their community are being arrested by ICE because this guy, because he was jaywalking and he is illegal. That's the same. Yeah. You can't separate out.
I think
special cases. Yeah, it's a protest of the whole policy.
I think maybe one of the things that's going on is that these politicians in California, they have a constituency that they're trying to satisfy. They're trying to satisfy people in California who want California to be the sanctuary city. So they have these two things, and then they also they people want two things. They want to keep the streets safe from drunk drivers and prosecute drunk drivers in a good way. And they also want to be a sanctuary city. And these people represent all the people of California who want it to be a sanctuary state or whatever they want or whatever city it is to be a sanctuary city. So now they're in an impossible situation. And things like this happen. These things like what you're talking about are weird anomalies of people wanting two seemingly contradictory things from their.
Yeah. No, I know. I understand. And
I agree with you that there's a political element to them wanting to make a show of the whole sanctuary city because all the people absolutely in their constituency love it and go for it. That's mm-hmm. where
must.
You live.
They must, they,
it's
they
where
must.
You chose to live. You can move to Arkansas. we hate that over here. You'll find lots of people who agree with you here. So it's
okay,
is
your next door house available for us? We can
next door, maybe not. Maybe.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The passion. Praise the Lord.
How Guatemala went.
Yeah, Guatemala was a blast. Yeah.
You've been there, right, Dad?
No, I've never been to Guatemala, but my best friend in school was from Guatemala.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So it's there's a lot of fun, beautiful things about it, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of really sad things about it too.
Yeah.
You know who Guatemala got their independence from?
Who? No, I don't
Mexico.
Know.
Mexico.
Oh, nice. Okay.
When
was that?
It was at the same time that Texas got their independence.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
What do you, what that was like the early the 1900s or something?
Well, that was probably 18 something.
18, okay.
Early 1800s.
Early 1800s. When,
the Alamo, during the Alamo, and the Mexican had this president that just everybody wanted to break away from him.
Ah, okay, okay.
And so while Texas declared independence, I guess so did Guatemala and Honduras and a bunch of other states down there. It's got a mysterious history. Not too many people seem to really know about it.
Well, it's just like quiet, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like no one... It's like
maybe nobody cares.
Who did Mexico? Like, didn't Mexico have a war of independence?
Yeah.
Who were they in?
Multiple.
They were having independence from Spain.
Once from us.
once from Spain.
Okay.
Once from Spain and once from France. They never fought a war against. I mean, for independence again about us. I think that's still going.
Was it for? Cinco de Mayo about U.S. attacking Mexico?
No, that was the French.
Was it the French? Okay, I thought one of those holidays was about was an attack the Americans made on. I could be wrong, but America did invade Mexico once.
Yes, Mexico.
United States did.
I thought when was that? When did we invade Mexico? Or what? Yeah, when did the United States invade Mexico?
I don't know the dates, but.
That's like when we acquired California, coincidentally.
Was that with us?
Yeah.
I think maybe a little after that, or I don't know.
It had something to do with Pancho Villa, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Like the Spanish government was encouraging people attacking U.S. and
That's one of the stories of me being an American kid growing up in Mexico City was that every year that we, the school, we'd have to go make this pilgrimage down to this, there was these five hero children that fought this war in Chapultepec Park. And of course, I never knew who they were fighting against, but we would always go down and do homage and lay wreaths and stuff like that. And I remember once when I became, I think it was in junior high, all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. They were fighting gringos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the story.
Why am I doing this?
It was like the four cadets or whatever.
Hero cadets.
Did you always retain...
Who jumped to their death for some reason.
Did you always retain a feeling of connection to the United States no matter when, at any point in your childhood, did you always sort of feel like you were in a distant land, or that you were in a place that was
how'd you identify?
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, you're a child in Mexico and you were born there, but knowing that you're part of this other, more advanced society.
When you're economically better off. Yeah. You're clearly American wealth.
Yeah.
Like,
so you hung out. I mean, did you feel like a stranger in a strange land?
You had a maid. Your wealth was on a different scale than anyone else in.
Yeah. No. Area. I guess because you kind of grew up in it, you didn't really know. I didn't really know the difference. Mm-hmm. but I mean, I just felt that was. I didn't really feel, I didn't feel odd at all. It wasn't until I was 16 and came to live in, when I went to school in Virginia for the first time as a, in my life, and then that was when I sort of felt like weird, like, wow, here I'm like a foreigner, someone, expat that's returning back to his country that I never knew.
Right. It was a different place. It was totally.
Were you primarily Spanish speaking at any point in time?
Bilingual.
But your primary language is English still.
English, yeah. I spoke English at home and most of my friends, we spoke English, but I had some Mexican friends too. And we would speak Spanish and we kind of would mix it up,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spanglish.
Yeah.
But I never felt, like I say, I think the only time that I really felt odd about it was that one time when I sort of came to realization that, we were going down to And I remember it. It's funny how I remember it. We were going down there, and we were going to lay the reef, and we're going to do the pilgrimage to these things. And I never really asked myself or thought about it, but I was wondering, like, okay, who were they fighting? Who killed them?
Right.
And then it was those gringos, you know. And they let me. I'm like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's funny. What was it like going to military school?
Did you choose to go to the United States?
It sounds like that was...
No, I didn't choose that. That was a choice that was made for me.
Who made the choice?
My well-behavior.
Who made that choice?
I think it was my dad.
Yeah. What was the...
My dad went there.
What was the final straw?
For him. We almost sent Greg.
I know. I can't remember what my final straw was. I can't remember exactly why you almost sent me.
I remember that was very seriously discussed. In my memory, it was very seriously discussed.
But I'm wondering if you remember the final straw that you're like, that's it. You're going to military school.
Was it a punishment?
No, I think it was
I have a hard time believing it's not a punishment.
You know, put it this way: there was few choices.
Okay, yeah.
It came down to very few choices.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I had to go to school somewhere.
Okay.
Oh no.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. But you were in high school.
Say, well, this is where you're going.
But it was in the middle of your high school options? Career, though.
I know.
What year were you?
Is a sophomore.
So okay. So you had done a freshman. So I mean, one of the choice.
No. It was the end. It was the end of my sophomore year. So I went for military school. I went for junior and senior year.
So like one of the choices would have been just keep going to the school you were going to, which was I'm guessing it was an English school. And
I guess I never told you why I couldn't go to the school.
Do you not want to say it on the internet?
Yeah, tell us the story so we can put it on the internet.
You know, you can decline to tell the story for the internet. We could turn the mics off.
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm not running for president or any political.
Not yet.
Of course, if I ran for some political candidate, it would all come out, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
true.
This podcast would be deadly to your career, Dad.
The Oppo team on the other side.
So we
didn't get an answer. We're just going to let it go.
Okay, are you declining?
So the truth was that I got expelled from school.
Okay.
What'd you do, Dad?
I think that happened to Tim too, right? Tim got expelled.
Dad.
I was accused.
It's a proud more tradition.
Accused of smoking marijuana.
There's another proud more tradition.
You said accused. There it is. Another proud more tradition.
Well, they could never prove it.
Dad,
that's what I got expelled for.
I know.
Exact same
thing. Wow.
Decades
apart. What? How did you? Did you? First of all, were you guilty as charged?
Yeah.
Okay. They just couldn't prove it.
Okay.
Okay. And then so they just but they couldn't
wow,
prove it.
Why
so
did they expel
that doesn't
you?
Make sense.
Wow.
For, they couldn't
what
prove
year
it.
Was this? Well, you got expelled
this
in
was
the
in
90s.
1967.
I think these are these,
68.
This is just like a product of its time. This is kind of like when you watch
maybe
when you watch an old like a Jane Austen novel made into a movie, and you're like, oh, these two people, they want to be together. Why can't they be together? It's just because of the stupid times, like, you know what I mean? Because of the weird.
One of them gets whisked away to like boarding school, like Dad just disappears
like,
one day.
I don't think that either of your stories would like. Pertain today. Like, I don't think people are getting expelled for that.
Was this like weed panic kind of thing? Was this one of those like reefer madness kind of scenarios where like everyone freaked out? But like, I mean, so you
well, what
pot,
this
then,
is
then.
What happened.
It's not
so,
that
so,
big of a. Okay.
So what happened was that there's a whole bunch of my friends. We went and we bought some went someplace in Mexico and bought some marijuana. And this one friend of mine.
Did you do this? This is the first time you did this, or is this a regular?
No,
this is a regular occurrence.
It's a regular occurrence. And
okay.
And so then we dropped off my friend at his house, and he was pretty seriously stoned.
Okay.
And he walked in to his parents, and his parents caught him.
Wow.
And, okay.
And,
yep.
And his parents.
Did he get expelled?
Takes one to know one. I'd say to his parents.
His parents were very influential people in the community and the school. And actually, I never saw that.
Were you the fall guy?
Well, they were able to get this confession out of my friend of all the people that he knew that. You know, had experimented with marijuana, and so I never saw him again. I didn't see him till probably about 10 years ago.
Wow!
But anyway, so.
And is he fine? Is he okay?
Yeah, he's like works for NBC, does sport news. Mm.
And smoking pot didn't ruin him for life.
and so anyway, so these parents went to the school. And they submitted the names, and a whole bunch of people got kicked out.
Dang. But they're just like on the accusation, on the mere accusation. That's insanity.
Yeah, that's how it worked.
Next thing you know, you're like in military school in Virginia, in West Virginia?
In Virginia.
So were people like really paranoid about marijuana then? Like, was this like a thing where everyone was afraid that you were like, this was... Like for a period of time, people were like,
I think it was kind of early in that kind of time. I think that there were later on, people got more. There was more, a lot of other people, you know, were trying it too. But I think it was kind of a novelty, and I don't know. Maybe the school wanted to put an end to it. I don't know.
Wow.
Were you? So this was 60 when? 68 what? 68.
Yeah.
That's so you're like at the beginning of the counterculture era, right? Like that's
probably very at the very beginning, you know.
And then you went to, how was military school? Was that like,
well, military school was kind of was hard, but you know, I think looking back at it, it kind of really helped me because you know, I don't know you know, the life I would have lived if I just would have continued my ways.
But, do you really think?
You would have turned out like Tim. You know,
the military school, I mean, I had 2 years of military school.
I'm a respectable grown up.
You might have been an accountant.
I graduated.
And I was, you know, I think I weighed, you know, I was like 160 pounds. I could, I was... buffed and healthy, and you know, I was graduated from high school, and was, you know, so I think it proved to be kind of a, you know, saving grace kind of in my life. I think
it was a benefit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a good use of those years.
I wonder if I would have been buffed. Yeah. Buffed.
But healthy. Not to say that it was easy. It was very hard. It was the toughest thing, and you probably could remember. You know, being in high school and having all your, knowing everybody and all your friends, and you can just imagine being taken away and put into another school where you don't know nobody. You're nobody.
And you don't even know, did you spend all your time on campus when you got off campus? Was it like
you had to stay on campus the whole time.
Oh. Did you have kind of a mystique though? Cause we were from Mexico. You had a kind of a shady background, like the circumstances.
It was an all boys school. Wasn't it?
No, because there was a lot of kids that were in the same shoes, kind of.
Was there an element of that? Yeah, and there were no women, so you're like,
no, there was
high school
all dudes.
Whoa,
yeah.
And so,
is that like safer all dudes or more doing dangerous? Push-ups. I can't tell.
No, I mean, just think of it. You were just basically, you know, like I'd go to school. And then after school, you know, I'd go running every day, and then go swimming, and then weightlifting, and then have dinner, and then just repeat the whole thing again the next day.
Wow.
You know? And eventually I made some friends, and the second year was a lot better.
Was that the only time that you worked out regularly like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like hard to do that on your own. I've been trying to get a gym regimen going, and it's like, man,
it's especially working in your house. You didn't get out of your house. Time, you should like block it off.
The only time that I've been able to like really lose weight, it reminds me of what you were talking about a little bit. Instead of being in military school, I had a very mean wife, and she was very vocal about my body weight, and that kept me on point. So I've
you
been
working
trying
out a lot and stuff.
Oh yeah, like yeah, that like, was yeah, when okay. I was thin. Remember? I've been trying to see like, can I make a workout regimen that's based on love, self love, and not like fear and anger. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard when you have your. It's hard when you have your own business and you're working and you got so many things going to break away and do that. I mean, I can't. I try to break away just to go take a walk.
Well, you're going to have to do some preparation for your Alaska trip coming up.
Well, that's all going to take place on a boat.
Oh, okay. You're cool then.
And no preparation at all.
You can't do anything. If the boat sinks, you're done for. You can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that
Okay. That's interesting.